Good morning to all of you. It is unusual to not be preaching and looking out at all of your faces as I preach. Instead, we're doing this remotely, given the circumstances and the time. We wake up, of course, to a new world again today. In the United States, we have now over 300 dead because of this coronavirus, and we have another 25,000 infected. All 50 states are now covered. However, it is important to remember that the majority of the cases are within three states, and within those three states, there are 10 counties that are especially affected. So the density is not equally widespread throughout the country. It's really very concentrated in three particular areas. But in light of the circumstances, obviously, lots of questions continue to circulate. And as I listen to reports, which I would encourage you to take in a limited amount, the questions are similar and repeated over and over and over again. Like, how long is this going to last? Great question. How bad is this going to get? Another question. How far will it spread? How many will it affect? How much will it affect this economy? How soon will we bounce back from this economy? And so on and so on and so on. Such are the questions. And they're all generally focused on the future, focused on things that we cannot answer at this point, and we are left to wonder and to question. And what I detect happening is not so much an abject fear that people have, that their very lives are threatened. Instead, what I see more, actually, is an uncertainty, an anxiety over what the future holds. Well, I think we can be certain that we are not going to return to life exactly as it was before. I don't think there's any question about that. We talk and talk about how soon will we return to normal, but the truth is, we're going to have to adjust to a new normal. I don't think we're ever going to have the old normal as we had it exactly as we had it. But all of these questions continue to bubble, and people seem to be more dealing with the question of anxiety and uncertainty than they are in abject fear. And part of it, I think, leads us to bigger questions, and some of them are even asking. In other words, if God really is in control of all of these things, then why is this happening? Well, at least now we're starting to get into a spiritual realm of questioning and not just worried about physical things and viruses and the economy and money and jobs and so on. But now we're focusing more so in a spiritual direction, and that's a good thing. But it's interesting, even with those questions, if God is really in control, why is this sort of thing happening? It's still a focus on circumstances. It's a focus on the immediate circumstances. And all of that's understandable. All of it makes perfect sense that we would focus on what's happening right here, right now, among us. But I think there is a different focus that really, really should be our priority. And we find a clue to that here in the book of Luke in chapter 13. So I'll give you just a minute to find in your Bibles Luke chapter 13. We're going to look at the first 9 verses here. Because here I believe Jesus really reorients the focus of the people that were questioning him. So Luke chapter 13, and we'll start here with just the first 5 verses. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. Now, there's some things we need to understand about this section. And perhaps the first thing, and most important maybe, is the Jewish mindset when it came to bad things happening to people. Typically, their understanding was that bad things happen to bad people. In other words, if you experience some sort of calamity like this, these two in particular, that it was really because of sin in your life. So in their mindset, generally, bad things didn't happen to good people, bad things happened to bad people. They were a consequence of your sin. Now, in the first case, with these Galileans who suffered at the hands of Pilate, we don't know specifically which situation is recorded here. The times were brutal, extremely brutal. And apparently these Galileans were somehow in Judea at the time, which is where Pilate reigned, probably Jerusalem itself. Something happened, and apparently some of them were executed. Their blood, obviously, seems to be a euphemism for their execution of some sort, and that somehow it may have been connected with some kind of religious observance. We're not sure exactly what incident it was. The people, though, however, are telling Jesus about it with a certain focus. And the focus is apparently on why did this happen, or how could this happen, or does this happen because of their sin? In other words, questions that have everything to do with the circumstances. And Jesus turns those questions immediately, refuses to answer according to the circumstances, and simply says, unless you repent, you too will perish. In other words, rather than focusing on the circumstances in front of us, Jesus immediately directs this to their own spiritual condition and draws them to focus on that. And then he relates a second incident. A Tower of Siloam, Jerusalem. It fell apparently in construction, you would assume, or perhaps not, but in any case, the tower fell, 18 people were killed, through what seems to be no fault of their own. Wrong place, wrong time. And again, the question seems to be, in the Jewish mindset, did this happen to them because of their sin? So, the question is in a sense a spiritual realm, but it's really, again, focused on circumstances of why do these things happen. Jesus, however, once again, rather than focusing on these circumstances, turns it completely around and instead focuses on their spiritual condition. I hear the same sorts of things being asked right now. Apparently on social media, which I pay no attention to and highly recommend you consider that because it is filled with misinformation, there's lots of dialogue and lots of statements about how this is all a judgment of God and so on and so on and so on. I think those are the wrong questions to be asking. I think even the questions we're asking about what the future holds, when's it going to return to normal? How's it going to affect the economy? How far is it going to spread? Will it affect us here? All of these things. Those are not necessarily wrong questions to ask. In fact, it's almost impossible not to ask them to some extent. But those questions should not be our focus, as much as a focus on our own spiritual condition in the midst of these circumstances. Because that's what Jesus, in fact, directs these people to. Yes, these things may be true, but he refuses to even engage about these events. Instead, he takes the events and the questions surrounding them and focuses them directly on the spiritual condition of these people. And what does he say to them? Unless you repent, you too will all perish. Well, that's a very direct and a very abrupt penetration of the heart with a critical question. In the midst of these things happening, what is your spiritual condition right now? What is the Lord's focus for your life right now? What spiritually in your life needs to change right now? That's the question. What is it in our lives, in the midst of these circumstances, what is it in our lives that the Lord most seeks to deal with right now? What about us right now most needs to be addressed spiritually? What needs to be considered spiritually? What sin needs to be dealt with spiritually? What about us right now? What about us right now? Most needs to change spiritually. That's where Jesus' focus seems to be. And then he follows up this with a parable, which we find here beginning in verse 6. So follow with me as I read. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it, fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Interesting parable, is it not? That seems to revolve around the idea of urgently bearing fruit. There's a sense of urgency about this. For 3 years now, this tree has existed in this vineyard. It's there. And yet for 3 years, it has not produced the fruit that the master has intended to find from it. It's been unproductive. It's been there. It's been taking up the soil, but it hasn't produced the appropriate fruit. And so the master comes along and he sees the tree there that's as unproductive, far from what it should be, and he says to the vineyard keeper, "Cut it down." But the vineyard keeper appeals and says, but let me dig around it, let me fertilize it, and let's see if it bears fruit. Let's give it one more year. And if it does, fine. If it does not, then we'll cut it down. It seems to indicate, in a sense, that the patience of the vineyard owner is limited. That he's only going to tolerate so long this cultivation without growth, without fruit, without change, without production. There's an urgency to that. And it seems he's only going to wait so long. He's only going to contend with this unproductive tree for so long before it gets cut down and burned. What does this have to do with what Jesus was talking about earlier? What does it have to do with the focus on spiritual question and spiritual need? Well, I think it obviously has everything to do with it. I think the parable is an illustration of the principle up above. And that is that the Lord continues to contend with us. He does continue to work in our lives in such a way to bring us to a focus on spiritual things. There are things in our lives that we really like to put off until later. We don't want to deal with them. We don't like dealing with them because dealing with them is painful. It's painful. And we would rather ignore it than address it. And so we go through these unproductive periods because we refuse to make the proper changes. We refuse to address things spiritually as we should. We'd rather ignore than address. And so we go through this period, and yet we see from this parable a connection here that there seems to be a very limited amount of patience we can expect. That there is coming a time where the Lord will deal more directly, much more directly with us, if we continue to live unproductively. If we continue to focus on things that have to do with our circumstances rather than our spiritual health and well-being. We can't do that indefinitely. We can't continue to prolong that. As a result, I think this becomes a really opportune time for us. I think the circumstances here bring us to a place far better than what we've had before. To really intently focus on what it is the Lord is doing in my life, what He intends to do with my life, where the focus of my life really should become. I think this is a great and opportune time for that. Because it's really, by virtue of the circumstances, eliminated a lot of clutter. Now we're kind of forced to some more quiet time. Forced to less activity. We're forced to restraint of things that otherwise we would be engaged in and running 100 miles an hour as we normally do. The question is, just as Jesus put it to them, what spiritually is your greatest need and are you addressing that? Because there's not an indefinite amount of time that you have to do that. Jesus is calling them here to act now spiritually. To act now based on what God has done in their lives, what God is showing them needs to happen in their lives. The time to act is now. Now. But we tend so much to want to put that off. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian author, Chronicles of Narnia, Mere Christianity, host of other great books, likens this whole thing to going to the dentist as a child. He says, when I was a child, I often had a toothache, and I knew that if I went to my mother, she would give me something to deaden the pain that night and let me get some sleep. But I didn't go to my mother, at least not until the pain became really bad. And the reason I wouldn't do this? I had no doubt she'd give me some aspirin, but I knew she would also do something else. I knew she would take me to the dentist the next morning. And that is what he most feared. He did not want to do that. And why? Well, we all have a phobia to some extent about going to the dentist. But here's what he says. He says, I wanted immediate relief from my pain, but I knew I couldn't have it without having my teeth set permanently right. And I knew that those dentists, I knew that they started with one tooth, but they would go to all the other teeth. And they would check out the whole thing. And whatever needed to be set straight with all of them is where the dentist would go to work. I can identify with that. I can identify with wanting to put certain things off and not really address them, not really deal with them. I can identify with that because normally when one thing needs to be dealt with, it has an effect on a number of other things as well. I think the Lord operates exactly the same way. The problem is we tend to be focused on the questions that we should not be asking first and ignoring the questions that should be most asked because they are the ones that are most important. I think the questions for each of us in all of this is not so much what's going to happen and when is it going to change and when are we going to get back to normal. I don't think those are the most important questions to ask. I think the most important question is, what is the Lord intending to do with my life right now? What changes is the Lord intending to bring to my life right now? What needs to happen in my life spiritually right now? I think those are the bigger and far more important, far more significant questions that we need to be asking. Be prepared. There may be some significant consequences to those changes, but they will be absolutely the best. Also beware. We don't have an indefinite amount of time to put the Lord off again and again and again with the changes He seeks to make in our lives. The parable of the tree in the vineyard reminds us of that. We don't have forever our own sweet time to deal with these things, but there is an urgency to bear fruit. There's an urgency. So my challenge to us and encouragement to us today is, as much as we're tempted to ask the questions everybody else seems to be asking, my challenge to us is that we shift our focus. We shift our focus to what it is specifically that the Lord seeks to do in our lives right now. What changes need to occur right now. What needs to happen with me? Me. not the person next to me, not the person in this house with me, but what needs to happen with me? What needs to happen so that I might bear fruit that is pleasing to the owner of the vineyard? I think that's the question of focus. So I want to encourage you on this day, to entertain those questions, to ask them, in prayer, to ask them seeking the Lord for His direction. I want to invite you to continue asking those questions until you get answers to those questions. I believe that's where our focus really should be in this time. What is the Lord doing in me? What is the Lord seeking to do through me so that I might bear fruit? Because believe me, folks, there is a world right now that is out there reeling from this, having no idea where their foundation is, and asking questions they've never asked before. We're the ones who have the answers to those questions, but we need to be able to give them from a standpoint of, this is what God has done in my life, and this is what it means to have a relationship with Him, and this is where my peace and my security comes from. And we do that when we have the proper, intact spiritual relationship with the Lord ourselves. We have a great opportunity to bear fruit. But we need to be people who are asking and focused on the right questions ourselves before we have something to offer to someone else. So I want to challenge and encourage us to spend time this day and spend time in these days ahead, these days coming, asking and wrestling with answers to these questions, asking the Lord to do an examination of us, taking a spiritual assessment of where we stand, and asking Him to do whatever He needs to do with this tree that belongs to Him so that it can be more productive. I pray you take full advantage of this. I pray that together we emerge from this different people, not because we live in a new world where everything has changed or many things have changed. I pray we emerge from this different because the Lord has done a work in our lives in this time, because we focused on Him and what He seeks to do with us, the changes He seeks to make in us, and we have submitted to that. We have been compliant. We have agreed. We have committed to be obedient to what He is seeking to do in our lives. I pray we emerge as those kinds of people from this, for the sake of our own lives, our own families, and especially this world, so that we then have something significant to offer to those who are asking these questions but who have no answers. Father, we commit to You ourselves in this time. We commit to You us who are desperately in need, Lord, of focus on the right things, Your things. We pray You will keep us from the distractions of these circumstances to the extent that we can focus on You. I pray, Lord, for each of us, because the answers are different for each of us. I pray for each of us that You speak in us, You speak to us, You speak through us. And Lord, today I pray we each and every one, each heart, would be fully submitted to You for whatever You seek to do in us. I pray for that. We sense urgency, Lord, from Your word. We sense that there is not an indefinite amount of time to respond to You. And I pray for us, each of us, that there is a willing, compliant spirit, that we are willing, even in the cases where much will be affected, that we are willing to make changes that we need to make to be obedient to You. I pray for that now, that becomes our focus and that becomes our message, as we continue to go through this by Your grace. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you this day and bless you in your time together with the Lord. Amen.